name is Kurt Evans. I am Beth at GoatRiders.org, and you are listening to the weekly podcast with Red Hat Mama.
Welcome, baseball fans. You've got the Red Hot Mama coming at you from Redsland. This week, we continue our series of talking to bloggers for teams worse than the Reds as we welcome Kurt Evans from the, aka Death, from the Cubs blog, Goat Riders of the Apocalypse. How's it hanging, Death?
Hello.
So, I know this is long overdue, but congratulations on finally DFAing Tony Womack.
Oh, thank you very much for that. I realize that the Cubs management went through considerable difficulty deciding to make such an obvious decision, but...
You got to feel good that that's finally happened, though.
Oh, that's a relief.
Well, you might be interested to know that the Reds have designated Quentin McCracken today, so you may be seeing him pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. That's great news.
Be looking forward to that.
Well, you know, if you actually think about it, in losing Womack, the Cubs, that just means the Cubs are going to be using Nefi Perez a little bit more. So really, it's not really a victory for Chicago.
And that's not something you're excited about. From what I've read on your blog, that's not someone that you're thrilled to be seeing playing, right?
When they create a statistic for the worst hitters in the history of baseball and use the particular name of one of those hitters to define the statistic, and that's Nefi Perez, then...
Yeah, that's bad.
You're not happy when he's a Cub.
I've been out and read a whole lot of the stuff that you've written out on Goat Riders, and you've written a couple of very touching pieces about your relationship with Dusty Baker. And so, you know, how has your opinion of him changed over his tenure with the Cubs? How has that rocky love-hate relationship evolved over the time?
Well, it began with awe and joy, obviously, because Dusty is a big name. We were very happy when he came to the Cubs because it legitimized the Cubs. And then it went from joy to disappointment, and then it went from disappointment to, all right, you know, altogether hatred, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And then it went from hatred to pity.
Yeah.
So at the time, and now I just feel sorry for Dusty.
Yeah.
Because as your fan base may know, he's probably the most overrated manager in baseball, and that's saying something since I believe he's won 3 Manager of the Year awards in his career.
Wow. So I read that there was some sort of evaluation deadline, something that's got to happen by the end of the week. Am I on base there?
You were a couple of days ago, but then the Cubs they avoided the sweep at the hands of the Astros.
Uh-huh.
And so now
too bad.
The evaluation deadline has fallen back to some other ambiguous deadline later on, maybe a couple of weeks after the All-Star break. Originally, general manager Jim Hendry was going to possibly fire Dusty Baker and the coaching staff immediately after the All-Star break or before, but now we don't know.
Do you have someone in mind that you think would be better?
Well, if you could produce for me a hat with a pile of names, and it could be any name you can imagine, then that person might be a better choice. You could even insert your own name in there, by the way.
Oh, I'd give it a try.
Actually, I think a lot of Cub fans are kind of interested in the idea of a guy like Lou Piniella, who mm-hmm. is kind of a big name, and he's considered a bit of a firebrand, and it seems that the Cubs themselves are kind of, I don't know, they don't seem to really care about what's going on. They don't seem to play with any energy. They're just a bunch of big quitters right now.
And are people actually behind that idea of bringing in Piniella?
Well, everybody has their favorite, you know, pet manager who they would like, but names like Piniella or, you know, Bobby Valentine,
mm-hmm.
Davey Johnson, just anybody with any sort of track record of success would be better than Dusty right now.
Yeah. Yeah, there was some discussion of Piniella and the Reds organization in the offseason. I don't know if you followed any of that. But,
well, how did you feel about that?
I was not super psyched about that, but just because I don't really know anything about him. I actually, in reading Tom Browning's book, mm-hmm. I found out quite a bit more about Lou Piniella, and I got more on board with that idea, but that's not looking like it's going to happen with the Reds anymore now that they've extended Jerry Nairn's contract through next year.
Kind of their slightly surprising success this year?
Yeah. Pretty surprising, really, because it doesn't seem like that much has changed. It really seems to be all about the attitude.
That could be. I remember I like to make fun of the Reds at the beginning of the season, but to be fair, I did place them ahead of the Cubs in my predictions before the season began.
And you were right on with it.
At this point, I could have placed the National League ahead of the Cubs, and I would have been right on.
Hey, there's the Pirates.
For how long?
Yeah, it's true. Well, and, you know, and even the Reds are on a 5-game losing streak, so I can't talk too much.
Well, actually, they kind of, I believe it was last year where the Brewers were playing very well up into the All-Star break. And I think they kind of had a bit of a nosedive in the second half of the season. I would be shocked if the Reds finished with a record above 500, but at the same time, they're basically setting the groundwork for next year.
Well, they've made an awful lot of transactions today.
Okay.
We've got several new people. Not that that is really relevant to our topic of the Cubs, but except for the fact that, you know, maybe it'll give you something else to look at when you're tired of looking at your own team.
That happened about a month ago.
So what do you do since then? You're posting as much as you ever did. Do you have trouble coming up with stuff to say about them?
Well, I think as I've gotten older and become a little more cynical, it's become easier to say snarky things about the Cubs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine from Chicago, and we discussed a thing called cubbernicking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how the Cubs are so bad that they're now actually worth watching again, because you want to see how they're going to lose today.
Wow.
So, and sure enough, you know, the attendance figures remain as high as they have all year long. And for some really sadistic people who are just fed up with it, it's kind of enjoyable to watch the Cubs lose horrifically in the ninth inning again.
So if that's the case, then are you disappointed when they win?
Yes. Right now I am, because I think if they rattled off a good 5 or 10 game losing streak, then maybe, just maybe, they would finally fire Dusty Baker and his mm-hmm. horrible coaching staff.
Yeah. Yeah, it really take something big to get something to happen there.
Yeah, besides, you know, if the Cubs keep losing, they might get the first or second round pick of the draft, depending on whether or not
yeah.
you know, the Royals continue to be much worse.
That couldn't hurt. So there's always an injury. Seems like your pitchers can never just seem to get on. Mm-hmm. What's up with that? Is it all in their heads?
Well, in one case in particular, there is a wide-spanning opinion among certain types of fans who believe that Mark Fryer has some issues, you know, mentally,
mm-hmm.
on account of how he suffers a mystery injury every year that no one can really identify.
Mm.
On the other hand, I think, again, going back to Dusty Baker, it seems more likely that he abuses his pitchers and,
right.
you know, I mean, he totally ruined Chad Fox's career. Not that Chad Fox had much of a career left at that point anyway, but he did blow out his arm the one last time.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since Dusty stepped in, he's abused Kerry Wood and Mark Fryer to the point where they're both pretty useless.
Well, that's a shame, because, you know, they've got some a little bit of talent there.
Yeah.
A little bit of skill.
We're waiting for Carlos Zambrano, but we figure that Carlos is so incredibly strong. And
yeah, he's made of steel, isn't he?
Yes, he's unbreakable. Yeah, if his right arm broke, he would start throwing left-handed.
On the other side of that, though, you've got Glendon Rush. Now, what the hell's up with him?
Oh, well, as you might know if you've read the blog, my opinion is that Glendon pitched his butt off for a couple of years and actually had a very good 2004, and he was all right in 2005. And as a consequence, the Cubs gave him a 2-year contract extension for about altogether $5 million,
mm-hmm.
and I think Glendon celebrated it by going to McDonald's every day. And coming to camp probably 30 or 40 pounds overweight.
Wow.
Is not going to, I mean, if you see him, he looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man these days.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he just kind of took the money and ran.
Wow. Well, gosh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I think I said something on the blog about how he's trying to get his ERA up to his favorite number order at McDonald's, which would be the quarter pounder with cheese. So he's working on getting up to that number 9.
All right. Well, you know, at least he's got goals.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Is there any hope for this team? Can it be fixed for this year?
You know, if you had asked me that question 2 months ago, at this point, it's almost, and I say this with total respect to you, it's almost a completely absurd question. It can be fixed for this year by getting ready for next year, but, you know, otherwise,
yeah.
right now they're playing to stay. Maybe it would be miraculous if they managed to lose less than 90 games this year. They're probably going to be a 90 to 100 game loss, 100 loss team.
So then you just hang in there for the hope of them fixing it for next year?
Yeah, right now I think a lot of fans in Chicago are hoping desperately that Cubs general manager Jim Hendry will trade away everybody and fire his coaching staff and then resign in a fit of disgust.
With himself.
Yeah. It's horrible because the Cubs gave him a 2-year extension very early on in the season after Chicago swept St. Louis. And then the team promptly, you know, sunk to the bottom of the league, and now we're kind of stuck with him for 2 more years, although he has proved to be completely inept these days.
Wow. So,
you can tell that we're very happy, all of us. We're very happy people.
Now, last week I talked to Pat Lackey of the Pirates blog, Where Have You Gone, Andy Van Slyke, and we talked a little bit about the irate fans that have started up there. Is that something that might go on in Chicago? Has that already been going on in the Cubs fandom?
Well, I seem to recall that recently gameplay was stopped for a while because fans were pelting the field after Ryan Dempster blew another save.
Right. Which surprised me because, you know, in Wrigley Field, there's sort of a, at least among other, outside of the Cub fandom circle, it has a reputation for having a lot of people in it who don't even realize that there's a baseball game going on.
I think that's changed probably in the last decade or two. It's still, you know, it's still the myth, but in reality, I think, especially since we came so close in 2003, a lot of Cub fans really want to win. And so, it's kind of, in a way, I have to admit, it's kind of unfortunate for a Cub player because if you mess up, if you're not playing well, they're going to boo you without mercy. And I imagine that's probably a difficult environment to play in, but, you know, they're making millions of dollars a year, and to suck it up and play a little harder.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
The Cubs fans are definitely unhappy with the team. They've been unhappy with them since the end of 2004. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon unless Jim Hendry actually starts firing people, and I think maybe that will hold the fans over for a little while. Maybe.
Yeah. So what about the All-Star game? I know you've got one representative going because, you know, that's the rules.
That would be the big moose, Carlos Zambrano.
Yeah. I think it seems deserving.
Yeah, well, he hasn't had... Well, ironically, as soon as he was named as an All-Star, he gave up, I think, 7 earned runs in six innings of work. But Carlos has definitely been the best pitcher on the Cubs for the last 3 years, I'd say.
Yeah, we got a good look at him on opening day.
Well, then you didn't see much on opening day, I don't think. But,
well, the next time through.
Yeah, he's a very fun pitcher to watch because of his emotions. I think this is his second All-Star appearance. We like him. But on the other hand, I guess some people felt that Michael Barrett, the Cubs catcher, should have made the All-Star team because he is having a good season as a hitter. But at the same time, when you're one of the worst teams in the league, you know, maybe you really haven't earned the right to have 2 All-Stars.
Well, there is something to be said for that. But it does suck for the individual players who are doing well.
Well, since there's only one other guy on the Cubs team who I guess Jack Jones has surprised us all by having a pretty decent first half. But, you know, the National League outfield is always pretty crowded with good players, so there's really no hope for him.
Yeah, the outfield. And they voted on Bay. What's up with that? Just the home team sympathy vote or what? Because, I mean, he's a good player. I mean, I'm not saying that, but one of the top 3.
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely a home team thing. If you're hosting the All-Star game, you have to have one guy starting who's from your team, I guess.
Well, yeah.
On the other hand, I think you and I have to accept the fact that the NL is probably going to get hammered by the AL this year.
Oh, yes. I don't have any doubt of it.
So, and it may have something to do with having players like Bay starting for the National League team.
Yeah, true enough.
Oh, well.
So you got to escape all of this madness for a while with a month-long trip to Europe?
Yeah, I spent 25 days with my girlfriend in Europe, in England and France, actually.
So how was it?
It was good, although I tried to ruin the trip for myself because every couple of days I checked up on the Cubs.
Yeah, don't do that.
I missed a couple of long losing streaks, so that was good.
Well, it had to be a little bit easier when you were so far away.
And only one person recognized my hat as a Cubs hat. So
really?
I was pretty anonymous there for a while, so no one knew I was a Cubs fan. There were no, you know, snarky comments.
Do you get a lot of snarky comments otherwise?
At baseball games, yeah. Definitely. I wear my Cubs hat to the Blue Jays games when I go, mm-hmm. because I live in Toronto.
Ah.
And people have some nice things to say.
I bet. Well, that has been really good to have you on the show. Thank you very much for being on here. I hope you'll come back.
Thanks for having me. I'm not sure if your fan base knows it, but you are well known on our blog.
Is that right?
Because of your witty comments that you occasionally have, especially when you correctly pointed out how much better the Reds were than the Cubs early in the year.
Yeah, you didn't know that I was a fortune teller back then, did you?
You got us on that one. I have to admit, you have us on that one. I'm very happy to be a part of it. Thank you very much, and everybody, go to my website.
Yes, you can visit Death's site at www.goatriders.org. Mm-hmm. I'm going to end out the show today with a little music from the Cincinnati Clutch Hits album. Enjoy the tunes and go Reds!
Here's the rules of the cul-de-sac league. First base is that mailbox, second's that frisbee, and third is the telephone pole by the shoemaker's yard. And Mike gets to pitch, 'cause he is the oldest, plus he made a fist right before he sold us. So I can play second, 'cause I can't throw that far, and we'll put John in right where he'll never see the ball. You can be shortstop and Heather's on first.
Visit us online at red-hot-mama.com or send an email to rhm@red-hot-mama.com.